John, how we doing?
Tired, but also not tired. Elated and exhausted, fatigued, but also grateful. It makes it sound like I'm peeing, but it's only because I'm pressing the AeroPress as we speak.
Yeah. No, I feel simultaneously emptied out and filled up.
Right. I've been hollowed out, and I've been packed with joy.
Mm-hmm. Forged in the refiner's fire.
But also born anew.
Mm-hmm.
How many more can we?
Born anoop.
Oh, yeah. We just talked to someone named Anoop. Hi, Anoop, if you're listening.
Hi, Anoop. Hope you're listening.
Send me a DM so I can find out whether or not you really listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great call. So the listeners might notice our sort of zany energy, and that's because it's 4 p.m., which is not normally when we record this podcast.
I'll tell you, it's really funny. I just had a flashback to when we used to record a podcast that we tried to make good. We did this podcast.
Which was a mistake.
Yeah. I edited it. I prepared. I had topics.
For hours per episode you edited.
Yeah. We would record for hours, and then I would edit for hours trying to make it into something good. I remember, like, beforehand, like, trying to get really quiet, trying to be like in the right headspace for, like, I want to make this a really good podcast episode. And now, like, you're catching me after like 6 hours of like exhausting meetings, and I jumped in the shower just to like kind of like hit the reset button. I didn't even need a shower. I just took a shower,
just needed a reset button.
Yeah, just to rinse off, and you know, and then like made a coffee and was just like, here we go. I have no idea what's about to come out of my mouth, but here we go.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in rare form. So lots to discuss, John. We almost didn't do this one because it was a busy day, but then I was like, we have so much to talk about. We have to.
Busy day as a start of a busy week. We're doing a bunch of sales calls. So I guess that's topic number one, is that this idea of like cohort two TM, it was a successful idea.
Oh yeah. Also, it all went great.
It's so sad to me how much our livelihood is connected to your Twitter account.
I know. Well, this is why you, like, this is why growing you is so key, right? And also, like, I was talking to Josh in his one-on-one about just, like, ways that we can align our brand with his and make sure that everything benefits him in the long term as well as it's benefiting us and all of this stuff. But, like, yeah, like, I really do, like, I mean, this is a hard problem to solve, and this is a, you know, but, like, making the brand more independent from me is key.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because also part of it is that, I don't know if we've talked about this on here, but, you know, we did run into... There's one client in particular, like our newest client, I guess, technically, who signed, who said, like, we sent over the contract, and they were like, well, what we really want this contract to say is that, like, Daniel will do all of the work. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, well, in this particular instance, that doesn't really matter, so whatever, we're not going to fight you on it. But, like, long term, of course, that is specifically the thing that doesn't scale.
Yeah.
And
in this exact instance, it was like they wanted hard technical advice on like a big complicated verbs integration, which is like specifically exactly my zone of expertise. Mm-hmm. So no one else is going to do that work as well as I would. So like it makes sense for me to do that. But if someone came in with, you know, a big website project and was like, hey, we need like a bunch of Livewire and Alpine components, and we need like you to make all the models and factories and tests and write business logic and stuff. Also, we need 40 hours a week, and it can only be Daniel.
That's just going to be a big no from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. This was a situation where it made a lot of sense. But
yeah, it was two days a week.
It is interesting. It's like, because the extent to which the brand is just you, that's what people who reach out to us might be expecting, right?
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm a loose cannon. I could tank this brand at any moment.
Yeah, that's right. We've had a good a good policy of like I will never, well, I shouldn't say will never. I can't speak to what the future holds. I have never and currently have no interest in like telling you what to tweet and not tweet. Mm-hmm. It's great. It, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the Laravel community who disagree with you and disagree with me in various different ways, and it hasn't seemed to affect anything. So it's been great.
Yeah. Come at me.
Yeah.
Peanut butter haters. The anti peanut butter lobby hates us.
Yeah. Who would that be? Like Big Almond Butter?
Big Almond Butter, Big Nutella.
Yeah. You know, Nutella is like 80% sugar.
Sure. And the rest is hazelnuts and chocolate.
Sort of, yeah.
Don't sort of me. Don't it depends me on Nutella. The radical centrist of Nutella.
Yeah. Actually, you know, both sides have some pretty good points here. If only we could find that balance.
There must be sort of a sane middle ground that we could find here.
This is a thing. I think I griped about this on our old podcast like 8 years ago, but something that has always made me so mad is the guy who, no matter what the debate is, goes, well, you know, I guess you're just going to have to find that balance. Because, like, without adding anything constructive to the thing, he just, like, tried to position himself as the most reasonable guy.
Yeah.
I despise that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the guy who's like, well, I've actually come up with a smart, brand new idea, which is thinking about it for a sec.
Yeah. I guess we're all just going to have to step back and think about it.
It's like, cool, man. Thanks. Appreciate you. Big points. Thanks for weighing in.
This podcast is getting less and less serious every week. Okay, so what we're talking about.
But
is
we did
new
do
clients.
Real business.
Yeah, we got real business. Okay. Sales calls.
So soup when season. Last you heard from us, we were talking about soup season. We were talking about cohort two. We were talking about like we're going to make this landing page. John and I did a Sunday night vibing session where we basically banged out the landing page. We got quotes from some of our friends and clients talking about...
Which also made us realize that we want to go get more quotes because there's more quotes that we're not even including here, and people who like us, who are known on the internet, are like willing to say very nice things about us. And I was like, we should have an entire page on our website of people patting us on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we would love a Hall of Fame of what great boys we are. But for now, we went and got three quotes. And then we put them up on the page and we like covered our three like primary capabilities. And then the heading was basically like product dev team seeks new obsession for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it basically was like, hey, we're looking for something we can really focus on. Big, gnarly, chunky problems. You might not be the person. If you're not the person, send this to the person.
Mm-hmm. We covered this last week.
Yeah. Anyway, we put it out. The internet was so kind to us. Mm-hmm. All of our sweetest friends appeared and quote tweeted us and said very nice things about us and co-signed us. And I think, you know, the quotes on the page were one thing, but like just the number of quote tweets of like people advocating us as someone you should hire was A, so kind, and B, lent a lot of credibility to our case.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. That led to about 7 inquiries, mm-hmm. I believe. 7 or 8 inquiries from people.
And the first question,
contact form.
The first question we ask about every one of these people is this a serious person? Is this a serious person?
And so...
In pretty much every case, the answer's been yes.
Yeah, they've all been serious people. None of them have been complete ding-a-lings, which is great. You know, sometimes we do get approached by a ding-a-ling. But in this case, it's been a ding-a-ling poor environment.
Right. Yeah, so that's great. It's been very good.
So we had a call with one of them. It's not like a super long engagement, but it is a pretty high volume engagement. And they do have like a meaningfully good problem for us to chew on. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. So that's essentially closed. We agreed, they agreed. Now it's all up to the lawyers, which means they just need to sign a contract. So that's cool. We've also got calls with some of the more interesting candidates coming up this week. I've been having a conversation with a guy who is sort of working on selling us internally at his company. And it sounds like they've kind of like, they're kind of down for about like 10 to 20 hours of like me and him working on stuff type of vibes to open the door internally to sell a bigger engagement, mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
And then the other, there's a couple interesting parts of this to me. One of them is the constant like juggling of capacity, where we, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people who have run agencies before, including development agencies and other kinds of agencies. And almost all of them say it was really fun. It was really cool. I had a great time. I learned a lot. I got better at my job. The one thing that just like kept me up at night every night and was very hard to deal with and is the reason I quit the business after 4 years is the like constant balancing act of how many clients have we committed to and how many people do we have working and do we need to suddenly go out and get a lot more or whatever. And we're at this really funny moment where now for April, April's booked. And
like to the gills.
We are, in fact, let me just pull it up. In April, we are committed to 20 developer days per week and we have four people. Mm-hmm. There you go. So like, great. May, we're like, we have like on the books, like about like 13, a little bit more sometimes, developer days per week booked, which gives mm-hmm. us like room for like seven more. And that includes like this new thing that came in that's not quite signed yet. But then like our biggest one, which is 8 developer days per week, might renew. Like we heard from
right.
today.
So the reason we went down from 20 to 13 is because this thing ends at the end of April.
Yeah. And really it was down from like 20 to like 7. Because like several things ended up going off at once, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like that we had this big scary cliff at the end of April, but then like something came in and our biggest one was like, oh, actually that might not end at the end of April. And we were like, oh, well then actually, even if we sell nothing else, that puts us at 23 developer days per week, which means we need a fifth person. So it's like, and then if they renew and also several more of these things from cohort two come in, like then we're like, you and I are working overtime and we're probably bringing in a sixth person. It's very interesting and like, also maybe none of that happens.
Well, right. And like, to me, like the interesting thing with the cohort two stuff is like, and, you know, and like, this is the stuff we said like really explicitly on the landing page, but like finding high volume, long-term clients, right? That, so that much of this juggling becomes, you know, we're still going to have to do it every so often, but like, that it's not something we have to do every month, you know? And so I'm excited for that. So I think that specifically the conversations we have lined up this week are interesting in that regard. I also think, and this is like a theory I posited in a text message to you, but I want to talk about it a little bit, that we saw that like we had a really good conversion rate with turning mentorship into clients. And it felt like we kind of like leaned into mentorship as like a top of the funnel a little bit. We're like, oh, great. Like it's really easy to get them in the door with mentorship. And then once they're in, they inevitably like grow and expand to be like a thunk client. And like that was our like, that was a big source of our leads for the last several months, right? And I think what we're learning is that maybe mentorship clients tend to turn into like 2-day-a-week clients, right? Which if you, if that's the top of your funnel and you're just like bringing in lots and lots of 2-day-a-week clients, you're asking to live in context switching world, right? And so what I liked about this landing page was like we explicitly changed the top of the funnel. And we're basically saying like, hey, the top of the funnel is now like do you have like big serious problems that you want help with? Mm-hmm. Like, here's people, there's three of them. They all have separate expertise. We're suggesting that you bring the whole team in.
Yes.
To look at your big problem, right? And so we're changing the marketing of the top of the funnel to target bigger, sweatier problems. And I think that that's going to result in more of the types of engagements that we want. Yes. You know?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so there's like this OKR we had a while ago, which is like increase the average like days per week of our clients, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think that like the way that we do that has to be like we change the marketing at the top of the funnel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I mean, in terms of like, it's interesting with like, because like also then in terms of just like financially, obviously a big client who had like a 6-month commitment, that's the best of all worlds, no question. Mm-hmm. Having someone who is like, I want 1 or 2 days of your time for a very long time or indefinitely,
mm-hmm.
that is also like, I can live with that pretty well, because mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. I also have that right now, you kind of have that right now with like with smaller clients who we've been working with for like a long while now, and for one, it's like you do get a pretty deep look at their problems and can provide a lot of value, and also like the predictability is really nice, and the money does add up over time. So like clearly breadth and depth is the best, but also mm-hmm. like something that is totally predictable for a very long period of time, I'm also like pretty happy with that in a lot of ways. But I do agree that like the general marketing should be like breadth and depth.
Yeah, well, and I do really think that like everything we say in the marketing is true, that like you just get more out of us if you let us really focus, you know?
Right, like, right.
If you give us the space to focus and pair and use John's PM skills and like plan and implement an architecture, like you're just getting like the most you can get out of us, yeah. right? Whereas if you're, you know, if we're like really cutting in and out of your project, like there is a significant switching cost associated mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The other interesting part of the sales process so far has been this thing that we never set out to do this, but I think it's very interesting and kind of funny. We've been joking about how in almost every sales call, one of us pivots at one point into like not quite like nagging ourselves, but like telling them like, here's why you probably shouldn't hire us. And sometimes that's like, well, look, you're like an early stage startup and we're expensive. And sometimes, that is, like what we told someone on one today where we were like, if we're really going to solve this problem that's in front of you, we're going to need a big commitment because we can't solve it with 1 day a week over the course of 3 months. That's
and we basically said like $100,000.
Yeah. Like the starting point for this is like $100,000. Here's why you shouldn't hire us, is because like the starting point for this is $100,000. And, it's actually been really good because it has led us to where we don't spin our wheels in our sales process. Like if something is not like destined to work, we find out really fast. And but then as it turns out, about 2/3 of the time, people are like, well, no, actually, here, let me tell you why you're wrong about that and why we don't care about that thing that you just said to us. And we want to hire you anyways. And then it's like, well, that's a great like sort of like confirmation that like they're serious. They see that we're being honest. It's really funny. There's like this sort of like reverse psychology in some of these sales conversations. It's been working really well.
I mean, I really do. Like, I am so super not interested in like barely getting someone over the line to be willing to work with us.
I don't want to persuade anyone of anything.
I don't want to persuade anyone of anything. And then, like, I don't want to have the, like, emotional weight on me of, like, having persuaded someone but like they sort of doubt themselves the whole time. And so we're in this like constant weird dance where it's like we have to like constantly justify our value every moment of every day because like they internally want to doubt it. Right.
It's similar like, with the guy who said basically he spent 30 minutes asking us how he could micromanage us. And I remember like, and you were just like, oh, it's not a good fit. And he's like, what? You were like, we don't want to do a job where you like deeply don't trust us. Sorry. And just like ended the call. It's, like, it's like, yeah, we're not going to like live in this space where you're like suspicious that we're not working the whole time. Like, we know we do good work, but like, we're not going to carry the emotional weight of like you feeling bad and weird about having hired us the whole time. Like, that's just not something we want to do.
Well, and especially not least because we have employees, and if I have that on me, I am forced to pass it on to them, right? So like, if you come to me and say like, hey, I'd like to like deeply micromanage you and like, you know, crawl down your throat every other day to make sure that like everything is how I hope it is.
Yeah.
Like, if that's like your project management style, then that means that I need to pass that project management style on to our employees, and I'm not willing to be that boss.
Yeah.
Right.
And you said, and so, you said something smart about this weekend when we were talking about you were complimenting our friends over at Titan that that they are really good at insulating their own culture and their own people from whatever culture is going on at their clients. So they could have a client who has completely toxic culture and like wants to infect Titan with that toxic culture. And Titan is like, no, no, no. There's like a fence around our people. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, and like the greatest respect I have for Mast Alpha is like the calls I've seen Matt get on where he just like absolutely went to bat for his people. And so like, you cannot demand that my people join a meeting with 5 minutes notice. Like that's, they don't work for you. If you'd like to like set up a weekly call, you can hit me up and like we can talk about that. And then I can ask my people what times work for them, and then we can set something up. But like, you don't get to just like DM my developers and tell them to join a meeting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is like the best.
It's a great thing for us to learn from him. And also, as a side note, it was really nice that he wrote up an endorsement on our website.
He wrote up the sweetest quote about us.
Yeah. It was very funny because he also, like, I haven't worked like that directly with him on like a real project. Like, we've never been like in the trenches together on a project. We just kind of know each other. So it was funny. He's like, I don't really know John, but it seems like he's great to work with. I was like, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. He was like, I have a decade of working with Daniel Hoburn and like great things, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, Josh and John don't have a decade with them, but they seem really
great.
Seems
good.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It was great.
Yeah, that was really nice. But yeah, so that's been an interesting thing. And then that came up today with nameless client who will remain nameless, who we had like an interesting and slightly different pitch, where they had a thing going on with, where they basically had a need for actually like a whole product. And this
is, we did an episode about this.
We did an episode about like something about like SaaS opportunity rearing its head once again. Mm-hmm. And we made a proper pitch where we were like, we interviewed a bunch of people at your company. We think we know what you need, and here's what it is. It's going to be a real pain in the butt to build, but like, we're the right guys to build it. And also, here's why you shouldn't hire us. It's like, for us to really solve this problem is going to be $100,000 to start with. And then there's a bunch of other stuff. And that helped to get to a point. They didn't actually sneeze at the price. They were like,
in fact, he was like, that sounds low.
Yeah. It's funny. The person, the CTO of this company has run an agency before. And he was like, you're lowballing it. It should be higher. He was like, it's not the price that's bothering us. It's actually that the real problem we have is not a software product problem. There's a manual work thing we have to do that is like super intensive that can't really be solved by software. And we just have to go figure it out. And we were like, that is perfectly reasonable. Next time you have a real problem, will you call us? And they were like, oh, absolutely. So like, it was great because they saw that we weren't trying to persuade them at anything. We went in there to say, we think you have a problem. We'd like to solve it. Here's how we would solve it. It's going to be pretty expensive. And they were like, oh, yeah, actually, the problem is something slightly different than that. Thanks for being honest. We'll call you next time we have a real one. And it was like a very pleasant and like bullshit free way of handling things.
Yeah, one of the nicest no's I've ever gotten.
Yeah, I was, and like we called each other after. We were like, that's great. That was like a great reason to get a no, you know?
Well, and we also had like our Sunday call on Sunday.
Right, the Sunday call's on Sunday.
Yeah, so that should be on the calendar. Sunday call on Sunday. So we had our Sunday call on Sunday, and like you were a little anxious going into this meeting, and I, you know, we kind of talked through it, and we're like, hey, like we're booked. Like,
right.
The only thing they can, like, if they just said like enthusiastic yes, it's like, great, we now have a problem we have to solve, yeah. Which is like, how could we possibly get this done? Yeah. Right. And so it was really good to go into it basically saying like, hey, we actually have no fear except uncertainty here. Right. Like the only bad thing that can come out of this meeting is like, oh, we're interested vaguely. We have no one on this call has the authority to talk about pricing at all. And we have this thing that's going to make it 2 months before we can make a decision.
Yeah.
Like that would have been a bad result.
That would have like generated a lot more of anxiety for me
for the next 2 months while we just like sat around waiting for them to be able to say yes or no.
Yeah. You described
it
as
great,
like,
to be able to just get on there and be like, oh, great. You don't have the problem. Congratulations. Yeah. Happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you have a different problem that only y'all can solve internally. Mm-hmm. Have fun. That sounds really hard. Yeah. So that was really interesting. And it felt just like good and honest, and everyone was like laughing at the end of the call. Like it was a thing. I don't know. It was like, it was cool that it was like, it was a no where like we kind of helped talk them out of it, and like they like, so it just, I don't know, it felt good because it also reminded me, I'm like, oh yeah, everything we are doing is solving a real problem because like this is how we approach things. We were joking afterwards about like, you know, I'm like, we're like the fire department out looking for fires, and like if you call us in for something that's not a fire, we're gonna stand there and be like, let's talk about whether or not this is a fire, you know?
It's like, hey, brother, the 3-digit number is one that you're not supposed to call if there's not a fire.
And we're not going to, like, hang out here for 2 months taking your money if there's not a fire, you know?
Yeah, right. Like, these hoses are hard to roll back up.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, the last thing it reminded me of, which was interesting, was... Merlin Mann, who one day will probably ask to be on this show. For any listeners who aren't familiar, Merlin Mann is someone who's been making podcasts for 20 years. Or maybe not 20 years, I guess. I don't know. 20 years?
As long as they've been podcasts.
Yeah. 18 years, whatever is the number. He's awesome. And we both felt very like, I don't know. He's one of our guys.
Who are you guys?
And then Daniel asked him to be on our last podcast, and he came, and it was like one of the most like magical days of my life. And maybe we'll ask him to come back on this. It'd be fun.
Yeah, but it'd be fun.
He had a thing where when he was doing web work for people way back in like the 90s, and people he'd say, what's your budget for this? And a surprising number of people will be like, well, I don't really know. There's not exactly a budget. I just want to kind of like hemming and hawing. And he would always do the orders of magnitude test where he's like, well, I mean, is it closer to $100 or $1,000? They're like, well, obviously 1,000. It's like, well, is it closer to 1,000 or 10,000? Is it closer to 10,000 or 100,000? And they're like, 100,000? Oh my goodness. No, I can't even imagine. He's like, okay, well, like, you know, and basically quickly get people into like some kind of range when they're not answering. So we talked about that yesterday when preparing this pitch, like, let's talk orders of magnitude. Like, obviously the one that this is closest to in the short run is like 100,000. If we ran this product for them for 2 years and did a ton of work on it, the order of magnitude it's closer to is 1,000,000. Like, are they aware of that? Are we on the same page about that? It turned out we were, we had a different problem, but that's a fun little tool to use sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice to be able, like, because what we wanted was certainty, right? Like, we wanted certainty more than we wanted the yes, really.
Right.
Right? And because of that, it's like, well, the quickest way to get to certainty is to say a number and say, what does this do for you? Does this feel like an amount of money that you would give us right now?
How does it sit with you?
Because, yeah. Is this doing anything for you? Like,
does that sound like something you might be interested in?
Yeah. And so, like, it was really nice to just, like, have a section in our little pitch where it was like, $100,000, yay or nay?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were just like, probably nay. And we're like,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Love to be here. Love to see you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, like, super interesting about this. Anything else come to your mind?
No, we both were exhausted this weekend.
Yeah.
We both got like totally wiped by last week.
Yeah. I got worked over last week. It was,
dude, me too.
And it got to Friday. Well, the thing I was also saying to you is that the ways in which I relax is that I work really hard on stuff. So, mm-hmm. like, the things that I do when I'm not here are that...
It's called relaxing.
Yeah, it's that I go to jiu-jitsu and I fight people to the death. And then I work on game design, which is just totally mentally and creatively draining. And then one new thing that I added in recently is that I've been playing music with the boys, which has been really nice. We've been writing some songs. I really like the songs that we're writing. It's great. But again, it was like on Wednesday night, I was like, okay, this will be my real relaxation. And it's like, dog, writing music for like 4 hours in a tiny room is like not relaxing. It's like really draining. Anyway, on Friday night, I was on the train coming home from a little social engagement and was like actually like nodding, like struggling to keep my eyes open. And I slept like over 8 hours every night this weekend and still just like, I am gassed. I'm like, mm-hmm. I got... Yeah, it's tough out here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I also am very tired. Last week was pretty draining. I told Jade, I have like probably like an hour or two of work to like really push this feature over the line.
Yeah.
I was like, I might just do a couple hours on this weekend.
Yeah.
Just because I'm here. I'm like in the zone with it. Absolutely didn't happen. No chance that I was going to get a couple of hours of like extra work in this weekend. I was like. What was I thinking?
We finished our Sunday call on Sunday at like 10:30. And I was like, hey, also, do you want to spend 2 hours reviewing all of my paper cuts code? Because we're about to push that to production and start using it, which is really exciting. That'll be its mm-hmm. own episode probably. But Chris reviewed all the code and had some like pointers, but he was like, overall, this is great. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, hey, now that it's 10:30 p.m. on Sunday, you want to review all of my code for this other project? And you were like, I do not. I would like to not do that. I was like, okay, noted. We'll save that for a future call.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I talked to my dad last night on the phone or on FaceTime, and I just like kind of caught him up on everything. I was like, he was like, woo, that sounds like a lot. And I was like, oh, dude, it's a lot for sure.
Yeah.
However, like,
this is the time of life. Great. What else are we going to be doing?
Everything's great. It's like, yeah, like all like we keep setting hard requirements for ourselves and meeting them, which is fun.
Yeah. And like,
also like that's something that I wanted to like address is that like, we've always had this problem of like, oh, everything's inbound. What if the phone doesn't ring sometime when we need it to? Mm-hmm. It'd be really nice to know that we could go drum up some leads if we really needed some leads.
Yeah.
And we just went and drummed up some leads, and that ruled.
Yep.
I really, really like that we drummed up some leads.
I agree.
They seem like serious people.
It feels very good. It's very exciting. I have like a high level of confidence. I was at a one-year-old's birthday party yesterday. I was, you know, you're there less for the one-year-old. You're really there for the parents. I was talking to the parents, and my cousin Adrienne said, with this slightly worried look on her face, she goes, how are things going? Are you guys making any money? And I was like, we actually are. Yeah. Like we're making, just based on what we've made so far, we're making more than I used to make. And we just need to sustain that and continue to grow it. It's like, it's pretty darn exciting. And I don't know. I mean, I think something's going to break for me at some point. And like, if I had a kid, or I don't know, if I just slow down 5 years from now or whatever, like something's going to have to give. I cannot keep doing all of this.
But that's why this iterative process of like finding out what is actually sustainable for us is important.
Right. But right now it's like, yeah, it's really hard. I am physically exhausted and mentally exhausted, but I am like, we're running and growing the business, and I'm also designing games, and I also have a life of sanity and relationships that matter, and I feel fine.
John Drexler, a life of sanity.
A life of sanity. What else could one ask for, you know?
You got to keep a little insanity in there. Just keep it spicy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe at some point I'll ask you if I can go part-time just so I can be a full-time game designer, part-time business owner.
Yeah, sure. Love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool. Well,
we got BOGO.
Yeah, we got BOGO coming.
We should pitch BOGO on here for the listener.
I think we have.
Okay. Well,
but you could pitch
every
it again.
Every Monday, if you'd like to, at 5 p.m. Eastern, and you're cool, and we know you are because you made it to the end of this episode, you should come kick it with us in our PM cocktail hour BOGO call, wherein we discuss project management stuff.
How did it come to be called the PM cocktail hour BOGO? I think I named it, but
yeah, well, so it's called PM cocktail hour, but it's only half an hour, so it's buy one get one,
right? That makes sense.
Because it's a cocktail hour, but it's only half an hour. So yeah. On the calendar, it's called PM Cocktail Hour BOGO.
Yeah. It's Sunday. It's the Sunday call on Sundays.
Our four calls at this point are the Sunday call on Sundays, PM Cocktail Hour BOGO, Monday morning baseball, and no meeting Wednesdays.
And talking businessly.
And talking businessly.